Well, good morning. Welcome to Wyndham Community Chapel's podcast of the January 10th, 2021 worship service. Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening from your homes today. As we spend time together in the presence of God and His Word, I pray, as I always do, that this service will be a blessing to you. As we open God's Word this morning, I pray that you will open your heart to what God has for you. Spending time in the presence of God and with your fellow believers on this faith journey is one of the greatest blessings we have in Christ. For we are made to worship our great God who has made us and saved us and is worthy of our praise. I want to encourage folks to come out and meet in person with us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. I know for some of you, physically, you are still unable to do that. And we certainly understand that and pray for you and long for the time that we can be together. But for others, with our safety protocols that we have in place, it's a safe environment for you to come, and social distancing and face masks. And we encourage you to come and spend time worshiping God together Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, here at our place in Dummerston. Well, Psalm 107 calls us into worship today. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. And that's indeed what we want to do. We want to give thanks. We want to worship Him this day. And let's bow in prayer as we begin. Lord, quiet our minds and still our hearts in Your presence this morning. As we gather, we are reminded that Your promises are true and Your goodness is pure. Your faithfulness doesn't waver, and Your mercy is new to us again today. So we come together to worship You. We confess that You are Lord from generations past and present and in the days to come. We adore You and desire to lift up Your holy name this day. We invite You to inhabit the praise of Your people and receive glory from our time together. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few reminders to us this morning. I encourage you to continue to send in your offering, and thank you for your faithful giving to the Lord's work here through the Church of Wyndham Community Chapel and through us to our missionaries, those we partner together with across the world. We are grateful for the impact that your offerings provide with the gospel message, both here locally in the Brattleboro area, but also all around the world. We're in the midst of a second week, actually, of our sermon series, Discipleship in an Instant Society, as we're using the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through 134, as our text. You know, on this faith journey that we are on, we face many obstacles and barriers. And these songs, these Psalms of Ascent, provide courage and support and inner direction for helping us to go where God is leading us in Christ Jesus. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 121. And then our men's Bible study has begun again on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Men, you're welcome to come. We practice social distancing and we wear face masks. And the ladies' Bible study is starting up this coming week, Tuesday morning, 9:30, January 13th. And you're invited to come, ladies, for that. Well, each week we have the privilege and opportunity to together lift up our great God and bring before Him some of the needs of our church family. And I invite you to pray as I lead us this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray for Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we do so often. But the events of this past week show us how far away we are from the fulfillment of Your desire and of Your will. In the midst of national unrest and division, bring harmony and peace through Your gospel. in these days of violence, bring restraint and peace through your Holy Spirit. Help your people, the Church of Jesus Christ, to rise up and be salt and light to our world during these critical days. May the words of Proverbs 3 guide our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Thank you for walking with us on our journey of faith. Thank you for providing real help for our real troubles and guiding us to the path of righteousness. Help us to follow where you lead. In the midst of chaos, whether that be in our own lives or in the world we live in, you are our rock. You never fail and you never will. You never change and you never will. Your promises are true and always will be. Your word is unchanging and always will be. Your church will stand despite all attacks until you come back for it. This is what we can expect when we turn to you and rely upon you to guide our lives. With all the fake news circulating and the internet blowing up with conflicting reports and Facebook full of ignorant and opposing opinions, we are grateful for your steady and unchanging nature. We can count on you and only on you. Help us to cling to you and point people to you. Lord, we want to continue to lift up Joe Conroy in his fight against cancer. Give him strength to withstand the radiation treatments and give him peace and contentment as he goes through this process. We also continue to pray for Dennis Boyd, Edie's brother, as he is recovering from broken ribs and broken arm. Thank you, Father, that he's home. Give him strength to heal quickly and patience in the process. Today we also lift up Megan Brunk as she prepares to give birth, ease her discomfort, and provide for a safe birth in your timing. And Lord, we also pray for others who are experiencing difficulty in their lives. Would you remind them of your love for them and your desire to lead them in the path of righteousness in their particular situation? Help them to rest in you and be strengthened for the challenge they are facing. Increase their faith as they are obedient and following your will. Now, Father, as we open your word this morning, help us to be drawn to your truth as we listen. Help us to be convicted of sin and wrong as the Holy Spirit reveals that to us. Help us to be obedient to your commands for holy living. Help us to listen with expectancy and willingness to live it out in our lives. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible nearby, I invite you to turn to Psalm 121. This morning's message is entitled, Traveler, Beware. For our life of faith promises preservation from the evil in life, but not from its difficulties. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "It is not our judgment of the situation which can show us what is wise, but only the truth of the Word of God. Here alone lies the promise of God's faithfulness and help. It will always be true that the wisest course for the disciple is always to abide solely by the Word of God in all simplicity." Folks, where do you look when you need help? If you look to people, they will let you down. If you look to yourself, you know that you can't be trusted. Somewhere deep down, we all know that if we depend on ourselves, we're in deep trouble. Do you look to contemporary philosophies? Well, they are empty and hollow and only lead to further trouble and eventually to despair. Some people look to escapes, whether they be alcohol or drugs or adventure or work or whatever. The problems are still there. when you're done escaping. You see, the moment that we say no to the world and yes to God, our problems don't just disappear. This faith journey that we are on is full of difficulties and hazards. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So the question is not if we have problems, but when. And this reminds me of a story about a man who decided to sharpen the blade of his lawnmower at the beginning of the grass cutting season. He turned the lawnmower over on its side and found the right-sized wrench. He grunted and he groaned, but the nut just wouldn't turn. And as every good fixer-upper knows, if it doesn't turn with a small wrench, find a bigger one. And so he did that, and still the nut would not turn. Well, now he was determined. And he went into the garage and he located a piece of pipe to use as a cheater bar and attached it to the end of the wrench. But still the nut refused to budge. Well, his neighbor across the fence noticed his struggling and his futile efforts and kind of wandered over. He watched for a bit and then he casually commented that he once had a lawnmower of the same make, and if he remembered correctly, the nut was threaded backwards. And sure enough, as soon as he reversed his efforts, the nut came right off. In this case, the man commented, he was glad to have been wrong. He was saved from frustration and failure by the truth. He would never have gotten the job done, no matter how long or hard he tried doing it his way. Well, in much the same way, Psalm 121 is a quiet voice, gently and kindly telling us that we are perhaps wrong in the way we are going about the Christian life, and then, very simply, showing us the right way. Follow along as I read for you Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Psalm 121 is the neighbor coming over and telling us that we are doing it the wrong way, looking in the wrong place for help. To those who are traveling on this faith journey to God, the psalmist offers a word of warning and then a word of comfort. And the word of warning is in the form of a traveler's advisory, and it's just this: warning, safety cannot be guaranteed. On this faith journey to God, you will have difficulties and troubles. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica concerning the persecution they were suffering. He said, "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well." You know, nowhere in Scripture do we find a promise that disciples will be spared from the trials and tribulations of this world. In fact, the very opposite is true. If we are truly living righteously, the world will hate us just as it did Jesus Christ. And so the question is not if we have troubles, but when we have troubles, what kind of trouble will we face? Or, put another way, what dangers lurk ahead for a disciple? Well, in our text, the psalmist lists five of them. The first is slippery footing in verse 3. We tend to become frightened at the first sign of trouble, and our movement tends to slow down on our journey to God. Our feet waver in their commitment to go forward. Our footing seems unsure, and we are convinced we are going to slip and fall, or at least stumble. Every traveler encounters slippery footing on his journey to God. For remember that the path is uphill all the way. The second danger that is in our path is the sun, and that's found in verse 6. The sun was intended by God to be a great blessing for mankind. Since sin entered the world, the sun has also become an instrument for pain and suffering to man. The sun is a constant companion on our journey. On a fiercely hot day, the sun is an enemy that cannot be escaped from. It is a constant and visible enemy to the traveler. The psalmist is telling us that we will have to face open assaults by our enemies as we journey to God. They will be visible and open attacks that we will not be able to shield ourselves from. Well, then following that in verse 6, the third danger is the moon. Just as the sun was intended by God to be a great blessing for mankind, so too is the moon. While the sun represents the attacks of our enemies that are visible and open, the moon represents attacks hidden from sight. They are carried out in secret, and their treacherous deeds are implemented under the cover of darkness. As with the cold of night, these attacks by our enemies leave us shivering and in need of help. Well, the fourth danger that the psalmist mentions is in verse 7, and that is evil. The word translated harm in the New International Version is actually better translated evil. Evil is the working of Satan and is a constant danger on our journey to God. Evil comes in many forms and faces, but it is all sin. In our journey, we face the inner struggle of sin that wars within ourselves and whose source is our own sinful desires. The Apostle James put it this way, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Not only does this battle affect you, but it also spreads and encompasses those you are journeying with. That's why James said the source of fights and quarrels among believers are the war against sin within each of us. As disciples, we don't live in a vacuum. We live in community and fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. That means that my sin and your sin affect and infects many other travelers on our faith journey to God. Evil is a real and constant danger accompanying each traveler. Well, the last danger that the psalmist brings out is in verse 8, and that is the unknown. Who can know what tomorrow will bring? Who knows what we will face even this afternoon in our faith journey to God? For Israel, as they journeyed to Jerusalem and back 3 times each year, what assurance did they have for their safety? Thieves, bandits, thugs, natural disasters, sickness, injuries were all real dangers on their journey. In fact, that is why they traveled together on their journey to Jerusalem. There is spiritual safety in numbers. That is why the local church is so important in our faith journey. It is also why isolation is one of Satan's most effective tactics in waylaying Christians on their faith journey. For some of us, the fear of the unknown paralyzes us from continuing on in our journey. Without assurances of safe passage, the road appears too risky to take. The unknown associated with the future certainly poses a danger for the traveler. And so, the question is not if we have troubles, but when we have troubles, where do we look for help? The psalmist looked to the hills, and what did he see? Well, he first saw beautiful scenery. The hills surrounding Jerusalem were majestic. They indicate strength and foundation. It also brings to mind serenity and peace and a sense of calm in a chaotic world. It reminds us of God, the creator and sustainer of all life. But then they also saw pagan gods. To the Hebrew traveler, the hills surrounding Palestine were full of idols depicting pagan gods. Much of the worship took place on the hills just outside of Palestine, ranging from the worship of the sun to the moon, from fertility to crops, from Baal to Asherah, you name it, they had it all. And this was the scene that the early Hebrew travelers encountered on their faith journey to Jerusalem. And it is still the picture that today's traveler encounters. Today's world offers a great variety of help to people facing trouble. It may not be as blatant as the idols on the hills surrounding Palestine, but they are as deceiving and empty as they have always been. Hard work, or the pursuit of pleasure, or politics, or family, or anything else that takes the place of God in your life is an idol. As a person of faith encounters trials and troubles, and he cries out, "Help," where does he look? The psalmist says that looking to the hills for help ends in disappointment. For all their majesty and beauty, for all their quiet strength and firmness, they are, in the end, just hills. For all the promises of safety on this journey, full of perils on the road, they are, after all, just lies. As Jeremiah put it in Jeremiah 3:23, "Surely the idolatrous commotion on the hills and mountains is a deception. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel." And so Psalm 121 says no. It rejects a worship of nature. It rejects a worship of vain philosophies this world has to offer. Instead, it looks to the Lord who made the heaven and earth. It says, help comes from the Creator, not from the creation. And so the word of comfort comes to us in the form of our companion on this faith journey. And that companion is the Lord. To each one of the perils that await the traveler on their faith journey, the psalmist's answer is Jehovah, the Lord God. This is commonly referred to as the providence of God, or God will provide. The great message of Psalm 121 is that God provides all we need as we travel this road of discipleship to maturity in Jesus Christ. And this is a reoccurring theme in Scripture. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 146, verse 5, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Isaiah 40, verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Or Isaiah 41:13, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Or Jeremiah 20, verse 11, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Or Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You see, Psalm 121 teaches us that we can have confidence in the Lord. Notice the description given of Jehovah. In verse 2, he is the creator of the universe. This is a direct reference to the source of our help. As I said earlier, we need to look to the creator of the hills, not to the hills themselves. We need to rely upon the creator of all mankind, not to human resources and philosophies. We need to lift our eyes beyond the hills to God himself. The second description is in verses 4 and 5, and that is that God is our protector. In verses 3, 4, 5, 7, and 8, it says, "The Lord will watch over you." This means he will guard and protect you. He will build a hedge around you that is full of thorns to prevent your enemies from reaching you. He will prevent the evil or sin of your enemies from affecting your soul. The Lord will protect our life from the evil of this world and its eternal consequences in our lives. Though we must suffer troubles and great difficulties in this world, our lives are safely hidden in Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then notice in verse 4 that the Lord is alert. When Elijah confronted the 450 prophets of Baal in 1 Kings, do you remember the antics of the prophets as they tried to awaken their slumbering God? The shouting and banging, the endless efforts to bring to life that which could not be brought to life? Not so with the Lord God. He never sleeps, never gets drowsy, never is distracted, and never even takes a Sunday afternoon nap. Our God is always awake and alert to our every need along the path of righteousness. Then in verse 5, the psalmist says that the Lord is our refreshment by being our shade. When the sun is relentlessly beating down upon us, the shade is a welcome sight. Essentially, the Lord promises to be our umbrella to protect us from the harmful effects of the sun on our journey. God promises to be our shadow to shelter us from the scorching heat. Jehovah is our shelter when our enemies attack us in broad daylight. He promises to be our source of relief and refreshment as we face direct attacks. Along with being our umbrella, the Lord promises to be right close by. When we need protection and refreshment, God is as close as our right hand. In Scripture, the right hand is a reference to the working hand. Now, don't miss the importance of this. When we are in need, God does most of the work. Our feeble attempts with our offhand pale in comparison to the effect of the working right hand. God is always nearby and willing and able to do the work of protection and refreshment for the pilgrim traveler. And then, according to verse 7, he is the preserver of your soul. It is in our spiritual life especially that God will undertake his protection and refreshment. The word translated life in the New International Version is the word for soul. The Apostle Paul reminds us of the safeguard that God promises when he writes in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is the preserver of our eternal soul. No evil can affect it, no matter how severe the struggles we face in our faith journey to God. No matter how difficult the attacks of our enemies, our eternal life is secure in Jesus Christ. And then, finally, the Lord's care over us is eternal. The hedge of protection surrounding us is for life. His refreshment during the attacks of our enemies is constant and will not end. There is nothing we will face during this journey of righteousness that will surprise or overwhelm our protector. His providence is complete and sovereign. God will protect his church and his saints always, even until the end of this present age. The Spirit of God, who is our preserver and comforter, will abide with us forever. So, when faced with problems on this faith journey to God, where do you look for help? Psalm 121 teaches us to look to the Lord, who is all-powerful and all-sufficient to meet our needs. It teaches us that with each breath we breathe, we know that we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God, and we know we are ruled by God. Therefore, no matter what doubts we endure or what accidents we experience, the Lord will preserve us from evil, and he will keep our lives. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you help us to recognize that the help that you promise us on our journey of faith is only found in your word and the truths contained in it. Thank you for being all-powerful and fully sufficient to meet our every need, no matter what it may be. Keep us from our natural tendencies to trust in ourselves or in the ideologies of this world. And give us strength and the desire to live only upon the truths of your word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we close today's service with a benediction from 2 Corinthians. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord bless you and have a great week.